Blog Talk Radio.
To be a group drawn to the light, that it would be part of our canon to recognize that it's important to get out ahead of issues. Doesn't mean we always have answers, but we stay informed, we're aware, and not only that, we accept under obligation that we're going to think a bit more magnanimously than self, ego. We're going to actually examine what's in the best interest of the people around us. Oh, there's nothing at all wrong with the diversity of the Masons. People come to Freemasonry for many different reasons. The epitome of Freemasonry has been that capacity for self-development, hasn't it? Character development. How we do that? Well, you know, it has been said that performing and committing acts of kindness and philanthropy will improve your character. It's an interesting experience. But doesn't really work if somebody is inclined to sit back and be passive about it, as if you're going to be cradled in somebody's hand and insights are going to be whispered into their ears magically. Nah, most of what we're taught is about, it comes as a result of work, not the competition of ideas or idea thieves. You can steal ideas, and those kind of people can steal ideas anywhere, but coming to draw their own conclusions, it means that there's not one mindset, one way of thinking. There's many different paths that lead to insight and understanding, and it occurs at different times. It's not sort of, oh, think of it coming in spurts, even the starting point, what works for one may be abandoned by another. The important thing is to to realize you're not alone in that. You're not alone questioning. You're not alone when you, at the end of the day, if you're competitive by nature, if you're competitive by nature, you'll learn that there comes a point when there's nothing to win. If you want to win, that's the point. You've won. If competing for experiences is your path to fulfillment, then you've absolutely won. Except it doesn't make much sense when you think about it, competing for experience. It's like, do what you have to do. But you can find fulfillment walking along a path through the woods, or stepping on a fresh fall of snow, or listening to a baby cry, or being inspired by Tosca or Bellini. You know, there's many different ways to it. But sit back this morning, and this afternoon, this evening, wherever you find yourself. And a shout out to our listeners from around the world. Thank you very much. And locally, much appreciated, always. And we're going to, we have an interesting commentary today, more than a feeling, but a feeling nevertheless. Yeah. And the poet today that is selected is C.S. Lewis. I think you'll like his work. It's hard for me not to like his work. And we're starting to wrap up our plunge or deep dive into symbolism in craft masonry. But we have just a few little tidbits left. So remember, you may have an appetite for this, but this is not the place for the enthusiasts. Sit back. Don't be rash. This is an enriched banquet here at Masonic Effects. It's not something you want to eat every single day. My goodness, no. This it would lose its, lose something. Sit back and savor what you can. And here, to start this off, I have the Modern Jazz Quartet. Some of you will know their music. Mean to Me. Beautiful work. Thank you. 1964 was a bit cheesy. Well, I can say that now, but back in the day, that kind of music, that's 1964. It popped. More than a feeling. Getting back to, you know, just wondering about masonry. I don't, sometimes it's so clear and other times it's not. It's very diverse and yet it resonates. It speaks to many, many of us. And we're right here in Upper Canada. We're entering this period of awareness. And we've been preparing for this for a long, long time. And of course, when your eyes are open and you're understanding the world around you, it isn't always sunshine and unicorns and rainbows. It's reality. And if we're bright, we learn to transcend and see the balance in the things around us. And if we particularly are able to erase our need to focus only on what we believe, and many do that. You may do that yourself. When you look in the mirror, you'll know the answer to that. You don't need to. I'm not your inquisitor. You don't need to reveal that to me. That's a conversation with yourself. But human beings do wear the confirmation bias rather clearly. We, in a simple, simplistic way, we believe what we want to believe. And maybe it has to do with neurology. Maybe it is our brain. Our brain is built to use the least amount of energy in order to work. And we know that following patterns, our brain likes our minds like that. It takes less energy. We make decisions faster. But what does that say? You know, it's sort of unsettling when we think that we have to be open and aware of this in order to accept new ideas and the reframing of our decisions and our thinking. Well, Freemasonry never said it was going to be easy. In spite of those blithe comments that it was only one night a week or one night a month, and you know all that upsell that goes on too often and has gone on. Well, we've realized the errors of the way. Freemasonry is comprehensive, and to tinker with one element of it, I suggest, is unsettling, unraveling a process that you may not realize. And that process may be essential in the development of character of a man. So we need to be very, very cautious. In that regard, we can think perhaps in form of a completion. It's like a mathematical formula. If we've been handed these formulas, but if we take away one element, just because it's, let's say, it's convenient, or we think we're doing the fellow a favor, or something is acceptable when we round off the corners a few degrees. Well, in fact, it all matters. And if we're not offering it 100%, then we're tampering with it. If you're thinking is that sounds extreme, well, I can't. Again, you've already made your decision, and I can't help it. But if you come at the situation from a different angle, you might see that it's the impetus for the striving. It's the reason for us carrying on as closely as we possibly can, the dignity and the quality and the content of the craft from generation to generation. Gratefully, we have reference points that we can use. Research is still continuing, and we're not overwhelmed by ideas or information, unless that's, you know, you have your nose pressed up a little close to the window pane. Step back, get some perspective on it. We've always had, did you feel, walk past the library and stop 20 years ago and feel stunned by the enormity of the information that it contained? Of course not. unless you were a bit daft, you might have had the experience where you walk into a library stack looking for one particular book and turning around and seeing something quite unrelated on the stack behind you. That is something that computers can't quite do yet. AI can't quite, artificial intelligence can't quite do that. The question is, how do you do it? You call it distraction, you call it inspiration, you call it lateral thinking, call it what you want, but how do you do that? It's like all those unintended answers that come out of our work. So lean in a little bit. This is an interesting, I like that. Tell you, you know, I'm, Graham, did you like your own work? More than a feeling. There are so many ways a man becomes a Mason. To cite them would be about as clear as the calculation for pi. Why? The science of craft masonry is difficult to define. Every single piece of defining hard evidence is open to analysis. Even the most intellectual analysis does not capture the feeling of masonry. It gives us reason to extol and encourage one another. It defines our community so inclusively that every stranger, every culture, every faith, every calamity is encompassed within the framework. Nothing is shouldered out of the way. But if you woke up from a deep sleep expecting uniformity, you would likely be very surprised by what you saw. Groups of men connect with masonry as a charity, a service club with life-altering obligations. You would find an open university where tolerance is a given. While the tip of intellectual activity carries out a calculus, the body, conservative by nature, is not thrilled by philosophical proofs alone. No imagination would do it justice. The way Freemasonry is best captured is in the mind. A community able to discern expectations from reality shifts the definition of success. Striving is not a measure of success. In fact, the journey may be more important or as important as reaching the destination. Nostalgia and wishful thinking hasn't made us immune to the four seasons of a life. As we age, some aspects worthy of our ongoing attention are preserved. Longevity is measured in centuries, and yes, it is a stiff litmus test, but it teaches us so much about the blend of imagination and skills needed to maintain a course. Hindsight teaches us that what we need to pass along to the next generation, and all this is apart from the spread and stability of interests. We all realize we are mortal, but that does not mean we embrace the moment without struggling to say goodbye. Life is fleeting, and masonry is an amazing path. Sit back and think about that one. Thank you. A poem written in the style of what's called an epithelium. Epithelium. What it is a poem written specifically for the bride on the way to her marital chamber. And this continued in popularity through the history of the classical world. Poem written for a bride. This is a Prelude to Space from Prelude to Space by C.S. Lewis. This is his epithelium. So, man, now think about who he's writing this for. So, man, grown vigorous now, holds himself ripe to breed. Daily devises how to ejaculate his seed and boldly fertilize the black womb of the unconsenting skies. Some now alive expect, I am told, to see the large steel member grow erect, turgid with the fierce charge of our whole planet's skill. Courage, wealth, knowledge, concentrated will. Straining with lust to stamp our likeness on the abyss. Bombs, gallows, belts and camp, pox, polio, Theus, kiss, or Judas, Moloch's fires, or Torquemada's sons resembles ires. Shall we, when the grim shape roars upward, dance and sing? Yes, if we honor. If we take pride in ring, so bountifully in space, our large disgrace. It's not exactly something I'd think of whispering into somebody's ear, but you know, different times, and it tells you about the thinking of these fellows. This is Wayne Shorter. Wayne Shorter from Adam's Apple. Good tune, nice band, nice group. We time in the show each week when here we've been continuing our study of symbolism. I don't think it's been the easiest material if I was to sit down and tear through it. I think this is the type of learning, it's like learning a literature, learning anything in general. The discussion is really quite helpful. Not all the time. I approach this, and I'd like to share this with you. Do you think that CERN Collider was developed by a committee? Hadron Collider. Do you think that was a result, or St. Paul's Cathedral, or Notre Dame? I think that when they were formed by the what made them work, I think is an interesting lesson for us. How do we move forward as a large organization spread over a million square kilometers here in Upper Canada? I think the way that this worked wasn't a competition of idea. I think we all, if we're striving and being intelligent about our issues, and yes, I have no patience for ego, you know, get some control over yourself. We're grown men. We all appreciate and respect good ideas. Always have. And we all respect the genius at some point. And I say at some point advisedly. Most innovation is a pushed back. Through history has taught us that. When we find answers, it's often they're not easily accepted, nor do you think that because they're serious, we need to weigh things carefully. But when if you lay eyes on the apprentice pillar, you know, it speaks to us, and the message, the story that is formed around that pillar is compelling. It is compelling, and it's exactly the point that I'm making here, that the reaction of the master was to kill the apprentice. What does that tell you? Add to that list, whether it's the pillar or it's truth to power or it's a new form of art or a new way of thinking, the initial impact is generally a shock, and it's repelled, but it always prevails. Interrupted. We can interrupt. You know, small-minded people can interrupt, but it doesn't mean that we have to just become less discerning about all of the innovation going on around us. Life isn't an upsell. life is serious. So if you're going to find that comfort level that you need, don't expect to, if you're looking around outside and feeling that you're under assault, well, you're always, if that's the way you frame the problem, then you're always going to be under assault, because change is like the seasons. It always changes. There's always something new going on around us in that regard. But if you pull back, it's like looking out the window and seeing the weather. You pull back and we call it the climate. It's like that with masonry. What gives us the common language to create these beautiful ideas? And yes, Freemasonry is an idea. It's like the idea of science. It's your concepts, ideas. Is that we have a common language that we can rely on. The mathematics, if you will. And that generation by generation, the mathematics is a constant. Yes, this sets aside our opinions about it. We become followers of the science. So the big arguments, would that new engineering work? Well, that's a matter of opinion. The science wasn't so much conjecture. It might have been the process, and it was the process of trial and error. But at the end of the day, there's constants. And so that dome within a dome, it worked. But the average person on the street, would we expect that they would say, oh, that they would grasp that? No. No. What you would hear is, that's stupid. That's a waste of money. They have nothing better to do. We need more control. Remember? That's what it sounds like when you're in the marketplace. So it sounds like that. Judgment. We have a hard time giving up our conviction. We believe what we want to believe. And then along comes Freemasonry that whispers in your ear, hey, keep your mind open. What's this about? Does this challenge you? Good. Good. The symbolism that we study is quite like that. Remember, keep the rules of engagement the constant. Nobody's grow up. Nobody's childish enough to thinking of you as a child that they're going to force you to do anything. If you have that kind of mentality, you probably don't fit in masonry very well at all. Oh, this is the science of the craft. What is this, and what it says to you, and how you use it, altogether unique to you. Altogether unique. So expect the variations, not stupidity. This isn't an anything goes kind of a world. No. No. We have obligations and ethics. We have principles. Within those principles, within that harness, there is an inestimable chance that you will find insight. We're talking today about some things that go back in our history and reveal some things, talk about some of the things that go on in our lodge. These aren't the secrets. These are just the tools. If you want to know the secret to carving a piece of marble, well, I could describe it to you, couldn't I? What do you do? Are you carving with a chisel and a mallet, or are you carving with a Dremel tool? Are you carving with a laser or a jet of water? I don't know. One drop on a stone. The secret is what you do with it. Oh, so here, give me the breakdown, the technical breakdown of the Hadron Collider. Oh yeah, that explains the secret. That explains it all. Unless I would be, you'd have to be foolish or simple-minded to be thinking that way. or that we're going to tear the universe apart if we split it out of it. Oh, yeah, okay. Remember the millennium? How many of you still have water stockpiled in your basement? Some foodstuffs. Everything was going to grind to a halt, wasn't it? Do you remember? Every single millennium through history had the same kind of apocalyptic effect. You know, jazz hands, everyone's just shrieking in the street. Did we learn anything? Oh my goodness, there's an eclipse. The creator is unhappy with us. We need sacrifices and ritual behavior. Are we so still? No, you'd be laughed at, or you'd be looking like a fool and nobody would be laughing at you out loud. Oh, that's like when men our age have temper tantrums. Oh, you are thought of as a complete fool, but nobody will bother to laugh at you anymore. Just, they'll walk away, shake their head. They'll do whatever they have to get out of your company. You want to be right, you're right, except when you're wrong or making a fool. Here, in the course of our ceremonies, this is pretty good stuff. The candidates were paraded. This is in the old days. This is from work by Hutchison, writing about, you know, his own times in England. This is geopolitically specific in a lot of ways. In the course of the old ceremonies, the candidates were paraded around the lodge, sometimes on the outside of the assembled company, for there were many references to meeting obstruction at the back of the master or the wardens, and sometimes on the inside. This developed into part of the ritual progression procedure, for the progression was always in a clockwise direction, which brought the candidate from the dark of the north through the east and via the south back to the west. The number of preambulations, or more properly circumambulations, was varied from degree to degree and was in a progression either of increasing or decreasing numbers. This was combined with the element of test or proof included in the ceremonies and enabled the assembly not only to witness the probation, but also to recognize the candidate as the man for whom it is the intention to conduct the ceremony. There is an echo of this in the master's address to the brethren before the candidate's preambulation to show that he is a candidate, or as the old lecture puts it, that all the brethren present might see that I was the candidate proposed. It is possible that the intermediate objects of the earlier degrees had to change with the times. And with the development of masonry, particularly as this development took place under two quite separate grand lodges. Remember? Ancients and moderns? Beautiful math behind those terms. It was also affected by the deliberate rethinking which went on in England in connection with the ceremonies. That being a result of the amalgamation of the two former Grand Lodges in 1813. A version of the old lectures from the early 1800s gives a view of the degrees. I think it's a nuance, but it's just delightful when you can look at our ritual and understand what elements come from the moderns and what elements are there consistent with the ancients. Just gives another dimension to it. How many different degrees are there in masonry? Three, which are generally received under different appellations. The privileges of each are distinct, and particular means are adopted to preserve those privileges to the just and meritorious. Honor and probity are recommendations in the first class, in which the practice of virtue is enforced and the duty of morality inculcated. While the mind is prepared for social converse and a regular progress in the principles of knowledge and philosophy. Diligence, assiduity, and application are qualifications for the second class, in which an accurate elucidation of science, both in theory and practice, is given. Human reason is cultivated by a due exertion of our rational and intellectual powers. Nice and difficult theories are explained. Fresh discoveries are produced, and those already known are beautifully embellished. The third class is confined to the selected few whom truth and fidelity have distinguished, whom years and experience have improved, and whom merit and abilities have entitled to preferment. With them, the ancient landmarks of the order are preserved, and from them we may learn and practice those necessary and instructive lessons which at once dignify the art and qualify its possessors to convince the uninstructed of its excellence and utility. This is the established mode of our government when we act in conformity to our rules. Oh, I'm just going to circle that. When? Not a given. This isn't a totalitarian. Hence, true friendship is cultivated between different ranks and degrees of men. Hospitality is promoted. Industry is rewarded. And ingenuity encouraged. This passage is an adaptation by the compiler of this version of the lectures from William Preston's Illustrations of Masonry and illustrates the sort of borrowing which took place in this development so that such passages found their way into the work of lodges. A borrowing of a different type is shown in the following passage taken from the writings of Dr. Oliver. He has borrowed the basic idea of the separate meaning of degrees from the passage from William Hutchison's already quoted, although Oliver was writing of the ceremonies after the rearrangements made on the union of the two former Grand Lodges. You do know that, of course. When those two Grand Lodges, there was disagreement about process, yeah? Mm-hmm. And then it came from different perspectives in history. The very first step taken by a candidate on entering a Mason's Lodge teaches him the pernicious tendency of deism and infidelity and shows him that the foundation on which Masonry rests is the belief and acknowledgement of a supreme being, the creator and governor of the world, accompanied by a confession that in him alone a sure confidence can be safely placed to protect his steps in all the dangers and difficulties he may be called on to encounter in his progress through the mazes of good and evil with which this world abounds. Assured that if his faith be firmly grounded in that supreme being, he can certainly have nothing to fear. In connection with this faith, the first degree of Masonry teaches him that his actions must be squared by the precepts contained in the Holy Bible, the constant study of which is strongly recommended. It goes on to enforce the practice of the three duties of morality to God, his neighbor, and himself. It reminds him of the value of time by an emblem which points out the divisions of the day into 24 equal parts, and the absolute necessity of regularly appropriating certain portions of it to the purposes of labor, rest, and the worship of his Maker, is forcibly impressed upon his mind. It teaches him the three theological and the four cardinal virtues, connected with which it points out to him the necessity of cultivating brotherly love, the capstone, the glory, and the cement of the institution. It incites him to the duty of relieving the necessities of others with the superfluities of his own substance, and in all places and on all occasions to adhere strictly to truth as one great and effectual means of pleasing God. These are all emanations of the faith which the candidate professes at his first admission. We have three luminaries in our lodges, and what do they point out? They refer to the three precepts of Micah the prophet, which, As Masons, we ought to do justly in every transaction of life. To love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. We are clothed in white as emblematical of the innocence and integrity which ought always to distinguish a free and accepted Mason. Our jewels have all the moral tendency. There is not a figure, letter, or character in Masonry but points out some moral or theological duty. Next time we get together, we'll share a bit about the second degree. Now, all of this, if I was to ask each one of you to write down what secrets were contained in what we've done today, I'm guessing we probably wouldn't have a one single uniform answer, would we? All the secrets of Masonry, all of them, are there, open for the world to see. What's the message? What's the secret that's contained in it? Well, that, my friend, takes more than a little thought. that wraps up our show for today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks. And hi, Japan. How you doing? And Belgium and France. I hope everything's going along. Complicated as ever, your inspiration may be well beyond what you were aware. And across this huge, huge landscape that I call home, in Canada, we're getting on with it. We're starting to mature. We've got challenges. Here's something that a very good good man sent me and suggested that I pass it on. Brilliant. This is from NPR. Those of you who tune in to national to the American station, I'll just give you the coordinates here. This is a reference to Kind of Blue, a bit of history about that album. Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Dave Brubeck, Ornette Coleman, and Joe. Just brilliant. Anyway, if you got your pencil or your crayon or your spray can, npr.org/2019/04/29, and here's a long number, 7175796/ More Than a Kind of Blue, 1959. A few albums changed jazz forever. And when Milan sent me this, it made me smile because this coincidentally was the very first album I ever bought. It was produced in 1959, and no, I didn't buy it in 1959. It just changes you. So I'm happy that you've been hung in there as long as you have today, and we're going to see you real soon. You commit those acts of random Masonic kindness. We're waking up. The lights have come on. We've waited a long time for this level of awareness across this great landscape. And we've got our work to do. So not time to be fretting and throwing your hands in the air. There are answers out there. Not that everybody sees them. For some, this is an insurmountable kind of a mixture. For some of us, it's not so insurmountable. No, it's not to make it simplistic. It's just to get your head around it. Getting your head around it is the work. Hein? Thanks. Commit those acts of Masonic kindness and take good care. This is from Mike Quebec. Everything happens to me. Yeah. See you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.